Acts chapter 13 and verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another Psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he, whom God raised again, saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Father, we praise you for this privilege of being together in God's house this morning on this resurrection day. I pray that you'd help us to worship the risen Lord this morning and give him honor from our hearts. Help us to love Jesus like we never have before. Draw us unto yourself this morning, Lord. Help us to desire to know you in the fellowship of your sufferings, in the power of your resurrection, being made conformable unto your death. I pray, Lord, that your anointing this morning, ask you to take our words and use them to bless this congregation, and we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I'd like to preach to you for a few minutes this morning on the meaning of the resurrection. In my text, this is a sermon recorded that Paul preached on his first missionary journey at Antioch in Pisidia. And in this sermon that Paul preached, we have the essence of the preaching in that early day. The preaching of the apostles centered around the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in this message, Paul is focusing on the resurrection of Jesus, preaching in the synagogue to those who had the Old Testament scriptures, were aware of the prophecies of those scriptures, and Paul is presenting to them Jesus as the fulfillment of their scriptures. So I want to show you a few things in this message of Paul about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. First of all, Paul says in his message that the resurrection vindicated Christ. He says in verse 30, God raised him from the dead. Now, prior to that, he says that you crucified him, the Jews crucified the Lord. He says in verse 27, they that dwell at Jerusalem, their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they fulfilled them in condemning Christ. And though they found no cause of death in him, they desired Pilate he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. And verse 30 says, but God raised him from the dead. Now what he's talking about here, what he's indicating in this passage is that man condemned Christ, but God vindicated him. When God raised him from the dead, God vindicated his son. The world said he's guilty of blasphemy. The world said he's worthy of death. But God said, he's my son, he's innocent, and he raised him from the dead. Now, if Jesus had not been raised from the dead, we could have discounted everything he ever said and done. But when God raised him from the dead and vindicated Christ, you got to do something with Jesus now. You got to confront the Son of God and make a decision about him, because God has vindicated his son and raised him from the dead. In other words, God said, my verdict about my son is different from yours. You condemned him to death. I'm going to raise him to life. Man was not thinking about Christ like God the Father thought. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And he indicated his pleasure with his son by raising him from the dead. Two occasions God said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. He spoke it from the heavens when Jesus was baptized in the River of Jordan. He spoke it from the heavens when Jesus was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration. He didn't actually speak these words at the resurrection, but the resurrection was the Father's way of saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So God vindicated Christ by raising him from the dead. He convinced witnesses by the resurrection of Christ from the dead. The Bible tells us in verse 31 that Christ was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. When Jesus was resurrected from the dead, he did not appear to the whole world. He only appeared to a few select individuals. He appeared to his disciples. He appeared to the women. He appeared to 500 brethren at once. That was just a select few people who saw Jesus after he was resurrected from the dead. But these people became convinced that Jesus was not dead, that Jesus was indeed risen from the dead. And they carried that message with them everywhere they went, that Jesus Christ has conquered death. He is not dead. He is alive. Hallelujah. And he's alive forevermore. So these witnesses were thoroughly convinced by the appearances of Christ after his resurrection that Jesus was indeed risen from the dead. It'd be very hard to convince me that Jesus, you couldn't convince me that Jesus was not risen when we have people who actually saw him and were willing to die for this fact that Jesus rose again from the dead. They carried that message into the world, a hostile world, a world that crucified the Son of God and killed those who witnessed for Jesus, but they wouldn't back up on this point that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. We saw him with our eyes, and Jesus is risen from the dead. He convinced the witnesses. The resurrection fulfilled Scripture. The Bible tells us in verse 32, we declare unto you glad tidings, Paul said, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again. As it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. So the resurrection of Jesus was the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. This prophecy said, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. So the resurrection was the day of the begetting of Jesus. Now, there's three begettings of Christ. There's that Christ was begotten of the Holy Ghost by the Virgin at his birth in Bethlehem. He was begotten by the Father from the grave at his resurrection. And he was begotten in all eternity past. In eternal begotten, he is the Son of God from all eternity. And so Jesus Christ was begotten by the Father in all eternity. He was begotten at Bethlehem at his birth. And he was begotten again at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So when Jesus came out of the grave, Jesus became the first man of a new creation. He was the beginning of a new creation. God brought him out of the grave and made him the first man in a new creation. The Bible calls him the last Adam, but he's the first man of a new creation. And then everybody else that gets saved, the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He's a new creation. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. But God started that new creation with his Son, Jesus Christ, when he brought him out of the grave and made him the beginning of a brand new creation. And now when we get saved, we become part of that brand new creation. Eventually, the Bible says God is going to make all things new, and everybody that's been made new in Christ Jesus will enjoy that new Jerusalem, that new world, and that God has prepared for his people, and Jesus was the beginning of that new creation. Hallelujah. This day have I begotten thee, the Father says, and Jesus begins the new creation, the beginning of the new creation. He fulfilled Scripture. This day have I begotten thee. And he says in verse 34, as concerning that he raised him from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. I am going to give you the blessings promised to David. God said to David, I'm going to raise up a son to you, and this son is going to sit on your throne, and he is going to rule and reign forever. And Paul says Jesus was the fulfillment of that. And so God raised him from the dead because he had given him a promise that he would have a kingdom that would have no end. He gave him a promise that he would sit on the throne forever. Hallelujah. And so in order for that to be fulfilled, Jesus had to be raised from the dead. And now then he's been given a throne from which there will be no successor. Jesus rules and reigns forever. Then he says in verse 35, he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. He shows that David was not the fulfillment of that passage. David, after he served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, was laid to the fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Jesus was in the grave from Friday to Sunday morning, but his body did not decay. He saw no corruption. And Jesus, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2, Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost, he said that it was impossible that death could hold Jesus. The reason why it was impossible that death could hold Jesus is because death had no claim on the Son of God. Jesus had never sinned, no guile found in his mouth, and death had no claim on Jesus Christ. I'm sure that they were nervous in hell, even though they thought maybe we've got a victory here, and they had Jesus in the grave. But I'm sure they were nervous in hell because his body wasn't corrupting, decaying. And besides that, they knew that there'd been times before that Jesus had overcome death and raised people from the dead and demonstrated his power over death. And I'm sure they were nervous in hell because there were indications that this might not turn out too well. Hallelujah. And Jesus had already predicted that on the third day he's coming out of the grave. And so hell's done its best to try to keep him in, you know. And they've got a guard posted there, and they've sealed it with the Roman seal. And all of the power of Rome is behind the Jesus staying in that grave. And the seal says that anybody who tampers with this grave is tampering with the authority of Rome. But brother, on that third day, hell doing its very best, couldn't keep Jesus in the grave. He came out of the grave, the stone was rolled away, because there's a power and an authority greater than the authority and power of Rome. Brother, all of heaven was behind this, and Jesus came out of the grave on the third day, conquering death and hell, bringing with him the keys fulfilling the scriptures in the Old Testament that he never saw corruption. And finally, the resurrection not only vindicated Christ, convinced the witnesses, fulfilled scripture, but the resurrection also provided for us salvation. And he says in verse 38, "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." So, since Jesus was risen from the dead, we have an opportunity to be saved and to be forgiven of our sins. If Jesus had not come out of the grave, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, we are yet in our sins. We cannot be forgiven of our sins. But since Jesus came out of the grave, we have an opportunity to be forgiven of our sins and pardoned and saved and redeemed because Jesus rose again from the dead. I'm glad this morning, brother, that we can celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. This is the most important day in the Christian calendar. The day that Jesus came out of the grave. It's the reason that we are saved, because Jesus lives. Oftentimes we make a lot of the fact that Jesus said, "Because I live, you shall live also." And we think about the resurrection at the last day. But I'm telling you, brother, it means something to be resurrected right now. That you have been quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. We've been made alive who were dead in trespasses and in sins. I remember the day, I remember the hour that God raised me from the dead. I was dead in trespasses and in sins and made my way, actually walked the sawdust trail and knelt at the old mourner's bench and cried out to God for mercy, and God, for Christ's sake, forgave me of my sins. I'm happy this morning because God raised me from the dead. Hallelujah. I once was dead, but now I'm alive. I was lost, but now I'm found. Praise God. And the resurrection provided the power to raise me to life again. I'm telling you, brother, there are a lot of people who are walking dead men. They're alive physically and dead spiritually. But Jesus came to raise us to life spiritually. And so, you know, when we were dead in sins, we couldn't see some things, nor hear some things, nor understand some things. Spiritual things were dark to us, and we couldn't understand those things. But when God raises us to life, we see things we never saw before. We hear things we never heard before. We understand things we never understood before. We're in a brand new world. God raises us to life. That is what the resurrection means to us. One man said, "Jesus did not come so much to make bad men good as to make dead men live." And this is what makes bad men good, is for dead men to live. And once God gets a hold of you and brings you out of the grave of sin and sets your foot on a solid rock and changes your life, this is what makes us righteous, is Jesus makes us alive. And we have become aware of another world. We begin to live in a new world. Sometimes we sing a song, "I'm in a new world now." Praise God. Since Jesus came into my heart and life, I'm in a brand new world. But there's more to it than just, you know, experiencing life from the dead, spiritual death. We also have this hope that in the future, if we go by the way of the grave, that there will be a resurrection day. And because he lives, we also shall live again. And I believe that there is hope beyond the grave because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that will be a reunion with those loved ones who have gone before, who died in Christ, who knew the Lord. That will be a resurrection day, a reunion day in the future because Jesus rose again from the dead. My parents died about 5 years ago in a car accident, went on to meet the Lord. And I believe with all of my heart that in a few days we're going to have a reunion. Brother Birdsong him sang a song. I got a hold of the CD somewhere. They sang a song that said, "They've moved our reunion over there." And indeed, you know, things are not the same. Mom and Daddy's gone, but they've moved our reunion over there. And one of these days, we're going to have another reunion on the other side. And my parents are going to hear the trumpet blast and get up out of the grave. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh my, not just me, but many sitting here in this place tonight or this morning. You too are missing loved ones who've gone on before. This church has buried several people in the last few months, and we grieve, still grieve in our hearts over those. Jimmy was at my house this weekend telling about yesterday, the same day that George and Bethany's anniversary was Jimmy and Cheryl's anniversary. And Cheryl has gone home to the other side, but there'll be a reunion one day in the near future. Sister Kelly went on to be with the Lord a few months ago, and our hearts still grieve over these loved ones that have gone, but there'll be a reunion in a few days, and Jesus is coming back. Jesus rose again from the dead, and our loved ones are coming out of the grave. We're going to see them, brother. I'm telling you, we're going to see them. Have new bodies, brand new bodies, and no sickness, no pain, no disease, and all of the sorrows of the past behind us because Jesus rose again from the dead. And there's a wonderful future ahead of us because Jesus rose again from the dead. We have a blessed hope this morning. I'm telling you, we have a blessed hope because Jesus rose from the dead. And the writer said, Peter said, that God has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And so we have this wonderful hope this morning because Jesus rose from the dead. And hallelujah. Jennifer buried her mother just not too long ago. I'm telling you, we've got a wonderful hope this morning. I can look around and see that many of you have had sorrow, but I'm telling you that Jesus is risen from the dead. This is what gives us hope. This is what brings us joy. When we look into the future, we know that death is not the end. Jesus has conquered the grave, conquered death. We're going to see them again. And in the near future, Jesus is coming back again. And so while we sit here in this place this morning celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we take comfort in the fact that because He lives, we are going to live also. And the grave is not the end. I want us to stand together this morning while Sister Judy comes to the piano. I want to give an opportunity for anybody in this place this morning that doesn't know Jesus to give your heart to the Son of God to be saved. You can be saved this morning because Jesus rose again from the dead. And I say this to you. You got to do something with Jesus. You got to make a decision about Jesus. If Jesus didn't rise again from the dead, you can ignore Him and go on about your life, live it however you want to live it. And there's no consequences. But if Jesus rose again from the dead, Paul warned those people that were listening to him. He said, "You despisers, you wonder." He said, "There's consequences if you don't do something with Jesus. If you don't make the right decision about Jesus, because he rose again from the dead, you can't ignore him. You can't go living your life. Go on living your life like you want to live it. You've got to surrender your life to Jesus." I want to give you a chance this morning. If you're here, you don't know Jesus, I'll give you a chance to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. The altars are open. Jesus is alive and well. And Jesus will hear you if you call on His name. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that if there's a soul in this place without Christ, you touch that heart this morning. Bring that soul, Lord, to submission to Jesus Christ. Help them to believe from their heart. Oh God, we'll give you glory. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Is there a soul here this morning? You don't know Jesus. Jesus is calling, beckoning. He'll save you this morning. He can save you because he rose from the dead. Do you know about Jesus?